Let's go inside Beaver Dam High School athletics and activities right now and bring in the big cheese, Ryan Gerber, Director of Athletics and Activities, as we're into the spring sports season. Ryan, as always, Mother Nature decides that she's boss as we get things going here, but we're working through the first couple weeks of trying to get competition in, aren't we?
Yeah, this is just how it goes in the spring, and we all know that was coming, and we've had some really beautiful days, and people have enjoyed it. Like the first day of the track practice, we were outside, it was warm, it's like, man, this is nice, and then we had hail just the other day, so it's just part of how the spring goes in Wisconsin, but, you know, we'll get everything in.
We're going to talk about the spring sports and what's been going on as we speak to start things out, but I guess let's do put the bow on the winter sports season, because we do have all of the all-conference teams. They are smattered about on the sports tab at dailydodge.com, but once again, Beaver Dam was well-represented when it comes to all-conference student-athletes across the board.
Yeah, and again, just hats off to all of our programs from the winter. It was another successful year. Of course, the boys basketball team had a conference championship season, first time winning a conference title for them since coming to the Badger. And of course, that was rewarded on the individual side with a number of all-conference honors. EJ Salatel was a first-team all-conference player, unanimous selection, and of course, player of the year in the Badger Conference. And for those who watched him all year long, you know, that makes a lot of sense. He really, you know, you could tell he was the best player on the floor every night he was out there. And certainly he made his teammates better around him, and that's what we're looking forward to next winter. But certainly EJ had a great year, and he's off to bigger and better things now next year when he's off to college. And then of course Ben Whitnable, who is a sophomore sensation again this year, second team all conference, along with Parker Blank, who is second team all conference. And then Jackson Ladron and Isaiah Younger were honorable mention candidates in a very tough Badger Conference field. So no letdown by being honored with honorable mention in the Badger Conference. And then Jackson Ladron was voted all defensive team in the Badger Conference. And again, if you watched him, whereas EJ was scoring, Jackson was locking people down. So it was really awesome to see. And so it was nice for his efforts to be rewarded. And then of course, along with winning a conference championship, Tim Ladron was voted co-conference coach of the year in the Badger Large. So a nice honor for him and recognition of the work that he did this year.
So great stuff on the boys' side, the girls' side as well, well represented.
The girls' side, now the girls' side is a little bit different because in the Badger Conference, there is not a second team. A long time ago, the coaches determined that instead of having a five-person first team and a five-person second team, they would just go with a 10-person first team. And the rationale behind that is the way that the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association votes for all state awards. You have to be first team, or at least they thought they needed to be first team in order to get that. So the only first team nominee was Natea Donovan, who broke the school record in points scored this year. She was a unanimous selection, first team player of the year. And then honorable mention, because again, there isn't a second team, were Emma Jalka and Shea Marie Ashley. And I mentioned you had to be first team for the WBCA to vote for all state. But if you've been paying attention, Natea Donaldson was voted all state as well as Emma Jalka. She got all state recognition as well. So congrats to both of them. And I think as a conference, we might be looking at making some adjustments to the girls' side to be similar to the boys, given that Emma was able to get on to all state recognition. And then the girls, all defensive team, Emma Jalka was named to that. And not only did she do an awesome job in conference, but as the postseason wore on, she really locked people down and gave this Golden Beaver team a chance to turn some people over and get fast breaks. And she was a real important key to this team's success.
So congratulations about all those basketball players. Hockey also had all conference, both the boys and the girls as well.
Yeah, so the boys team still in a rebuild. So their only individuals up for all conference this year were Elliot Gardner and Isaiah Olds. They were honorable mention candidates in the Badger Conference. Again, the Badger Conference all conference teams really dominated by Edgewood and Monona Grove and McFarland, and for good reason. There's only one division in hockey, and they were the cream of the crop. So they're certainly going to have players. Edgewood had three unanimous selections for first team. So tough to make up ground when you have that level of competition in your conference. But again, this team struggled a little bit on wins and losses. I don't think the record really indicated how much they had grown this year, and certainly we expect big things from them next year. But Elliot Garten and Isaiah Olds both receiving all conference recognition. And then on the girls' side, Brenna Rhodes received first team unanimous all conference selection as a forward. Emerson Damon also was a first team selection forward. And then Emerson's little sister, Macy Damon, who had a freshman campaign that was just tremendous. She also was a first team defenseman this year. So great things for her as we're going to get to watch her for three more seasons here. Addison Hookstra was a defenseman, second team, all-conference selection. And then in terms of honorable mention, Audrey Lant and Lillian Mansueto for the Golden Beavers were honorable mention, all-conference selections. Brenna Rhodes, of course, was the player of the year in the conference, and I believe for the second year in a row. Wade, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Co-player of the year as a freshman, so 2 years in a row.
Yeah. And Mike Pogorelick was named co-coach of the year in the Badger Conference. From a state level recognition, Brenna Rhodes was an all-state selection, and Emerson Damon was an honorable mention all-state selection. So, again, very nice work by that group of players getting recognition not only as a conference but across the state.
And Brenna was also a finalist for the state player of the year, which was awesome as well for her. Wrestling as well, Ryan. Also, obviously, wrestling all-conference is determined by how you finish.
Yeah, wrestling, a little bit different. And swim would be the same way. It's really how you finish at the tournament. So for wrestling, it was Landon Groh who received first team recognition at 190 pounds in the Badger Large. And of course, he was a champion. So and a place winner at the state tournament. So really nice year for him, of course. And, unfortunately, it's his senior year, so he'll be moving on. But I think there's some nice young pieces coming up behind. And then on the girls' side, while they didn't have any all-conference selections, you're going to see a person like Sally Lumens, who's going to be returning for her senior year next year after qualifying for state the last 2 years. She's going to have her eyes set on an all-conference and hopefully the podium for state next year. So we'll see how that plays out next year.
So it's great. We can put the bow on a successful winter sports season across the board for Beaver Dam. And I guess we're flipping the calendar to spring sports. You mentioned some of the outside stuff, but, still moving stuff around with practices inside and outside. But one thing that has been going on, Ryan, has been, track and field has the tweener season, the indoor season, which is pretty short. But Coach Haley Daniels and Tyler Schmidt have both been doing a great job, and the Beavers have been doing a nice job in there. They've been at Ripon, and then they hosted the Golden Gloves this past weekend.
Yeah, and we're really happy that we had a change in leadership at the beginning of the year, and Coach Daniels, who is on the track staff, who's also our cross country head coach, she's really my right hand here at the high school when we're dealing with issues in high school, but also as part of our athletic leadership team. And so I asked her to step in an interim role, and she's doing this with Tyler Schmidt, and they're sharing that position. So they're doing a fantastic job. It's a lot to bite off to be head coaches, but then to do it in the short term. And I think they're having a lot of success. They had a nice tournament a week or so ago up in Ripon, and then we hosted the Golden Gloves here just a week ago, and the boys and girls both placed really high. They've got a number of individuals who have qualified to the unofficial state indoor championships down at UW-Whitewater that'll be taking place over the weekend. And again, just a team that is continuing to grow. Their numbers are up into the 90s. And track is one of those sports where you got to build an army, right? If you have the numbers, if you can get more and more athletes from other sports to come out and help you out, you're going to have a lot more success. And I think they're doing that, and we've got the right people. We've brought on some new coaches this year that I'm really excited about, watching them grow and work with our kids. And I really like the vibes around this program.
And you mentioned the state meet at Whitewater. On the girls' side, Lucy Gonzalez has qualified in the 60-meter hurdles. Claire Bates in the triple jump. Morgan Merritt's in the triple and long jump. Grace Haynes for the high jump. And on the boys' side, Austin Shaver is going to be competing in the long jumps. They'll be heading down there. The girls get the early, I guess everybody gets the early bus ride. The girls are the morning shift this year at the state meet, and the boys are in the afternoon. So congratulations to all of those kids that qualified.
Yeah, it's a great experience, and having being an alum, a proud alum of UW-Whitewater, I can tell you that the facility is top-notch, and they're going to have a great experience down there. But, you know, you rattled off that list of names, and a lot of those names are the who's who that have been involved with track and have had a lot of success over the last couple of years. And, you know, as they continue to grow and develop, you're hoping for better results. You know, Lucy has been to the state meet. Grace Haynes has done some great things over the last years, improving her scores. And Morgan Maris has been at the state tournament. So again, some athletes that have gotten it done as young athletes that are now into their junior and senior years, and really excited to see how this weekend's tournament at Whitewater goes, because that's just going to be a precursor for the outdoor season.
You know, when you look at it in general, when, you know, sports across the board in Beaver Dam, I had actually a media member from over in the Fox Valley bring it up to me about how it seems like Beaver Dam is competing for conference titles and are state contenders across the board in sports during one of those runs. But he brought up, especially on the girls' side, you know, with the hockey and the basketball, and then you see, you know, some of the cross countries and the track kids that are qualifying. You're just in a run here of kids putting in the time, great coaching that have allowed you know, these teams to be noticed and Beaver Dam to be noticed across the state of Wisconsin.
I think we talked about it the last time we recorded, but what the girls are doing is something special here, and you don't see that everywhere. And for a long time, you know, everyone could point to the girls' basketball team having a lot of success, but that program is still having success. But now you throw in the girls' hockey team, you see improvements in the cross-country programming. I think the volleyball program has taken steps. You know, they're in a tough league, but they've been very competitive over the last couple of years. In track, they've certainly done well, and we're growing in soccer. And again, our female population has come out. They've been engaged. They've committed to the weight room and becoming better athletes. And you're starting to see that success. You know, building up in any program or across multiple programs, it isn't something that happens overnight. It's a slow build, but you're seeing that success. And, you know, that magic fairy dust that's been sprinkled on the basketball team is starting to be sprinkled elsewhere. And you love to see it. You know, I get a lot of ADs from across Southern Wisconsin talking about Beaver Dam and just the type of athlete and the mental toughness that comes with them. You usually refer to our athletes as gritty and blue collar, hardworking, and just tough being the main one. And I think that's a reflection of our community and our area and our families. And that's a good thing. You know, we want our kids to be mentally tough. We want them to work hard. We want them to persevere and overcome obstacles. And then eventually, get to that success, whatever that may be for each individual. And so, again, it's a credit to our community and all the people that are supporting these boys and girls through the youth and into high school.
And Ryan, I guess let's flip over to some other sports here. Baseball got their first game in on Tuesday night and didn't go. The Reedsburg Beavers, they threw a two-hitter on Beaver Dam, just one inning. Reedsburg got three runs. But, Coach Nate Wilkie's squad looks to be contenders again in 2026.
They've got some definite talent coming back from last year's team that was in the sectional final, and I think they're going to be okay. You know, Reedsburg's going to be a program and has been a program the last couple of years that's been very competitive, and they're going to continue to be very competitive this year. So it's the first game of the year against a tough team, breaking in some new players. You know, things are going to happen. You hope to get a few more hits than two, but that's how baseball is some nights. And look, you still have Ashton Seifert, who's going to take the mound every other night out, and he's going to be on shortstop, and he's going to be one of your best hitters, and you got a lot of supporting help around him. So this is a team that's going to be competitive. The question is whether or not they can hold up against some of the other blue bloods in the conference and how that's going to work out.
So we look forward to watching baseball. Their home opener is supposed to be, I think, a week from Friday against Fond du Lac. So we'll see what they get in. Softball had the home opener colded out, not rained out anymore, but colded out with the new facility last Thursday or Friday last week.
And then
now they're on the schedule on Thursday as we record against Wanakee, and Mother Nature has sleet, rain, hail, snow in the forecast with wind. It's changing all the time. So wait and see, but eventually Quinn Hines' squad's going to get out there, won't they?
Yeah, it's just the way things have lined up has just been unlucky. And, you know, again, it is what it is for the spring. You know, everyone says, well, you got a turf field, why aren't you playing? Well, that doesn't do anything when you've got wind chills that turn the temperature down to 28 degrees. Talk to the baseball team about how that went. They scrimmaged over the weekend in Semperi and had a bat shatter. Could we go out and physically play? Sure. But would the girls be able to grip the ball? Would they be able to play up to their potential? Probably not. And that's when you start to risk injury. So they'll get out there eventually. I think this is another team that has a lot of returners from last year's team, a lot of veteran players. The question for them is if they're going to be able to find enough pitching when Emma Jalka isn't on the mound. You know, she's a really important piece to their squad. She's their starting pitcher, but she's also the shortstop. So when you're removing somebody from one of those spots, you know, who's going to fill in and carry the load? And so, again, they've got some answers to fill. Been out to their practices a couple times, like the vibe around the team. They seem loose. They seem relaxed. You know they're going to hit. They always do. They've got plenty of talent back between, you know, Kendall Fakes and Maddie Bryan coming back. Again, it'll just come down to pitching and if they can get enough pitching and defense.
You know, you go back to the game on Friday, and I talked to some people about that. Okay, it's a non-conference game. You know, you can always move those around or, you know, find it. Why play where players, fans, and everybody's miserable when you can just reschedule it for a few weeks later or whatever and have it weather conditions be all right and get a true experience out there in the field, right? There's no absolute must. Sometimes conference games you just have to play and gut it out, but non-conference games that you can, there's some flexibility.
You know me, Wade. You know, I'm always looking to make everyone happy and keep everybody happy and making decisions that everyone loves. So, yeah, I mean, look, we had a scrimmage Thursday night against Lamira, and it was absolutely miserable. And, you know, we got that in. The weather had shifted a little bit. We knew it wasn't going to be great, but the weather shifted enough to make it pretty bad. And just looking at the forecast, like you said, it's a non-conference game against Fond du Lac. They're close. We've already rescheduled the game. It is what it is. Now, to your point, yeah, if it was a conference game, would we have played it? There's a potential that we would have. You know, you remember a couple of years ago, we played Watertown over here in a game that was shortened because of that. And I still haven't heard the end of it from the Goslings. At some point when you start canceling games in the spring, it's hard to find makeup dates. So it's not like we enjoy canceling or postponing games because it makes it much harder on the back end. But again, in this situation, it made sense to do it. You know, and I tell Nate Wilkie all the time, you know, in my three seasons prior to this, I've only canceled two baseball games for weather. That's it. So it's not like I'm out there trying to postpone things, but when it makes sense and the safety of our kids is there, you know, that's something we got to look at.
Inside Beaver Dam High School Athletics and Activities with Ryan Gerber from Beaver Dam High School. Now, girls soccer, their game's going on this week. Beaver Dam, though, gets to wait till next Tuesday. They open up at Oregon. Ryan, just excited to see the girls soccer team get going under Coach Paredes?
Coach Paredes has done a lot of work in the offseason with the girls to keep developing, so I'm excited to see that. And I had a chance to talk to her in her preseason meeting, and we just talked about different goals and setting realistic expectations. And really the big thing is just to continue to grow this and to keep the mindset moving forward. And I think the one thing, if you talk to her about mindset of the team, you know, we're in a vastly different place than we were a couple of years ago. There just seems to be a lot more calm and steadiness, and that's a good thing. That shows growth. Now we just got to turn that into wins. And I think if they can just get some wins early on and get some confidence, I think that's really going to lift them. You know, they got a lot of talent that can get out and play, but they play in a brutal conference. And traditionally, we've played a really tough non-conference schedule. And while I'm all about that from a competitive standpoint as a former coach, sometimes you got to throttle back and look at the needs of your team. And I think we've put together a schedule that I think we can be very competitive in. And of course, as you know, Wade, if we can pick a couple more wins during the regular season, that improves our seed at the end of the year, the postseason. Now you have a chance to have a winnable game in the postseason. And then that kind of momentum is what you need going into an offseason to to keep building. So when you have a program that hasn't been real successful, you're looking for small steps. And you got to find small victories, and you build on those, and you build momentum. And at the end of the day, you know, how you define what success is, you got to hit that into the offseason.
So their first game again is on the road Tuesday at Oregon, and look forward to seeing them on Daily Dodge TV a few times this year as well. Where is golf and tennis at here this spring already, Ryan?
Golf and tennis both got started, so they're practicing. They will be getting going here pretty quick. There isn't as long, big of a acclimation period for those sports. Of course, the boys' golf team, we're very, very lucky for them to be playing out at Old Hickory as their home course, and what a luxury that is. That's just amazing. So they've been out there practicing, and they've got really good numbers. They really like the team. They think they're about a year away with some of their youth, but I know Coach Popovich is really excited about Garrett Boettcher and the strides that he's taken in the offseason to improve. And so we'll see. You know, they took a big step last year in terms of competitiveness, and they won some duels. So, like, this is another program where they're a player or two away from really making a lot of noise. Last year, you had guys that had never really been on varsity who stepped up into those roles and really shone out. So again, it's just a matter of how they can continue to develop and be coached up. And I think they'll keep going. On the tennis side, you know, their numbers are a little bit down. Certainly they've lost a lot of talent over the last couple of years, so they're in a pretty considerable rebuild mode. I know both the boys and the girls tennis programs, they've started to build some youth programming to really build up their numbers and their quality of numbers. The one thing about the staff with tennis is they're very patient. And that's what you're going to need with so many youngsters. Colin Pfister, who graduated a year ago, he's back. He's helping out Coach Damon this year. So it's nice to have alumni that are coming back and who were successful. And so, again, it's just going to take some time for them. You know, when I talked to Coach Damon, he, of course, wants to be competitive in matches that they can be competitive in. So, you know, when they play a Fort Atkinson, you know, being competitive in those environments. So, again, there's some really tough opponents in their league, as there is for all of our sports in the Badger, but they're realistic in trying to compete in the matches they can compete in.
How big is that? You mentioned, you know, Colin coming back and helping out. Do that when you get former Golden Beavers on the staff? I know soccer, you know, I know Emily Beal's helping out, Manny Kinsey's there. You have baseball, you have, you know, some Coach Wilkie's a Beaver Dam alum on the spring side. Just how big is that to have people that have worn the green and gold to be helping out, you know, the current rosters?
I think it shows the health of your program and the vibe around your program. If former athletes don't want to help out, then it tells you a little bit about what's going on in the program in general. And granted, not everybody can, right? Between work schedule or if they're in school or whatever the case may be, everyone's got different lives. But to me, when you have a program where former players want to come back and coach and help out and be around the program, to me, that shows a healthy program, that shows that the coaches are doing things the right way, that they're making lasting impacts on these kids that's positive. And those are the kind of areas we want to celebrate. You know, girls basketball has had that the last couple of years where they've had players come back and helping out. And so again, this is something I was actually talking to Summer Salatel, because she'll be going into her first season, and we're talking about, you know, staffing. And I said, you know, as you do this longer and longer, you'll really be able to tell how people perceive your program by how many former players want to come up back and play for you. And to me, that was always something that I prided myself on when I was a coach. And it's something in that school that we had a lot of across different districts or different sports. And we're starting to see that here in Beaver Dam. People want to come back and help out and help the next generation. And I think that's really great.
Ryan, on the activity side, the arts, the music side, it's a busy time as well. I know we have a bunch of things coming up, including state speech, solo ensemble, concerts, a prom. What do we want to hit on over there?
So the robotics showcase is tonight here at the high school after school, 5:30. They're showing off some of their robotics awards and things they've learned over the course of the year from two state bids, both the varsity and JV robotics. We've got state speech coming up on the 18th. So that'll be something special for them. I believe they have five or six individuals that have qualified for that. Jazz Festival is coming up. The District Jazz Festival is coming up on April 21st. So another opportunity to come out and see the wonderful work that our student athlete or students are doing in the music side of things. And yes, many of those kids are doing multiple things. So we have kids that are in the jazz band that are out for different sports or different clubs or activities, while also being well-rounded students as well. And then, of course, the big event that everyone's talking about is prom on April 11th. That'll be held out at Old Hickory. Of course, the Grand March is here at the high school in the auditorium. So anybody that wants to come over and watch that, they can certainly attend that. There's no admission to that. And then finally, Grand March, we go over to Old Hickory for dinner and dancing. And of course, the Dodge County YMCA has graciously opened their doors for a post-prom after that. So lots of that coming up. And then from athletics department standpoint, on April 22nd, we'll have our Collegian Signing Day here in the auditorium during wind time. And I know you guys have talked about streaming that again this year. So lots and lots of things going on in April before we turn into an even busier month in May.
It should be a fun time, Ryan, both, you know, on the fields of competition, on the courts, whether it's in the auditorium for those kids. If somebody has any questions about athletics or activities, you and I know Austin Keats work hard to keep everything flowing smoothly. How do they get in contact with you, and where do they find information?
Give us a call or shoot us an email. Right now, the way things are going, probably shoot us an email is the most direct way to get a hold of us. Or stop on in. Kathy's happy to direct you to us. But if you want to go online, you can go to the website, badgerconference.org. On the right-hand side, click on Beaver Dam. And all of our schedules are found right there.
Ryan Gerber, I appreciate all you do at Beaver Dam High School. You really, you work your butt off to make sure it's a positive experience for everybody involved. And we will chat with you in the very near future. Thank you so much.
Well, see you later.
This has been Inside Beaver Dam High School Athletics and Activities on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and DailyDodge.com.